This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we are in a series entitled Important Lessons That Changed My Life. Important Lessons That Changed My Life. All my life, God has been good to me, and I know that's the same testimony that you have, amen? And I've seen favor show up in my life in uncommon ways in every area of my life, whether, honestly, as a kid growing up, and then in the military, and then in business, and even in ministry, and one thing that people have always told me was that, hey, you have wisdom beyond your years. And of course, that's not me, that's the wisdom of God, you understand? But also, there's some natural implications that you have to bring together and understand that if you walk with the wise, you'll increase in wisdom. So I've always hung around people that had more than me, that knew more than me, that did more than me, and I was never shaken by the fact that they had so much, or even if they flaunted a little bit, like that didn't bother me. You got it? Because I wanted to be stretched, I wanted to learn, I wanted to go places, and you have to be real careful, not to get upset or jealous or any of those things when you're around someone that has a lot, because one thing I taught you last week is that exposure expands expectation. Everybody say exposure.
Exposure.
Expands expectations. So I wrote this thing, and I want you to listen to it. I read it to you last week, but I'm going to read it for the next few weeks. When God exposes us to people who have more, it is not to provoke us into jealousy, but to expose us to what is possible. You can't become what you haven't seen or heard. Our response determines whether we are postured for increase or relegated to lack. So exposure expands expectation. And that's why when God starts doing, great things for people, whether in the church or your family or in your job, you know, we rejoice with those who rejoice, right? Because if God's blessing your neighbor, he's in the neighborhood, right? And so that's why we do that. And so wisdom is so important. Proverbs the 13th chapter and the 20th verse says, become wise by walking with the wise. He says, hang out with fools and watch your life fall to pieces. So it's real plain that birds of a feather do what? Flock together. You're going to become like who you spend time with. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You got it? And so when choosing your friends, everybody say he's just reviewing. When choosing your friends, you know, you have to ask yourself these questions. Number one, do we have the same convictions? Because how can two walk together unless we agree? All right? The second question you have to ask is, are they going somewhere? Like, am I hanging out with people who have goals and they have vision and they have dreams and they have aspirations? You got it? You know, or like my father used to, Bishop McIver, used to say when I was a little boy, or are they interested in just working for the Stand and Lean Company? You say, what's the Stand and Lean Company? Stand on the corner, lean on the building. So are they going somewhere? And then number three, will they make me a better person? Will the relationship that I have with this person make me a better person? Because in life, people will either add, subtract, or divide in your life. That's the bottom line. They'll either add to your life, you got it, or they'll take away from your life, or they'll cause all kind of division and craziness in your life. You got it? And so make sure that you're asking those questions. My definition for wisdom, it's very simple. It's a disciplined approach to living. And notice I said a disciplined approach to living. If you're going to do anything of substance or reach any type of goals, it's going to take discipline. You got it. Those of you all that go to the gym know it takes discipline for us to get up in the morning and say, man, I'm going to the gym, or I'm going for a walk outside, or just whatever. I'm going to start moving today. It takes discipline. You got it. It takes discipline to pass by Krispy Kreme when the light is on. Like, it takes discipline. You understand what I'm saying? You know, so you got to understand that it takes discipline. So it's a disciplined approach to living whereby I operate by spiritual principles, and through discernment, I accurately apply both natural knowledge and spiritual knowledge. So I bring the two together into my situation, bringing forth the perfect will of God for my life. And so I have to understand that I need the spiritual and I need the natural, and I need to bring them together. Proverbs, the 4th chapter And the seventh verse says, wisdom is the what class? Principal thing. You got it. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. He says, exalt her and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou doest embrace her. So it's so important to make sure that you go after wisdom. You got it? That you're not just making any old decision, you're not just doing any old thing, but you're really striving to be wise, to have wisdom. And there's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. You got it? Knowledge is to know something. Wisdom, you got it, is actually to apply the knowledge that I've learned. Does that make sense? And so you have to understand, there's people that know stuff, but they don't do it. So they have knowledge, but they have not yet applied wisdom. So you have to apply wisdom. So we are in this series entitled Important Lessons That Changed My Life. And I gave you two last week. Hopefully, we'll review those quickly, and then hopefully I can give you three today. I know you're going to be a good class, so that's not going to be the problem. So as long as I don't be long speaking on one point, we're going to get to 3 points today, all right? Are y'all ready to dive in? Okay, everybody say number one. Number one, learning to be a giver and not a taker will cause you to live an amazing life. I'm just telling you, that is so true. The Bible says, he that refreshes others shall be refreshed. You got it? And I say, he that is a blessing to others will be blessed. You got it? There's a reason why the Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. There's a whole lot of reasons, actually. One of the reasons is that my receiving is dependent on my giving. Does that make sense? And so the farmer doesn't go to the ground, you got it, and get on his knees and knock on the ground, you got it, and say, give me some corn, you got it? Because if so, then if the ground could talk back, he'd tell to the farmer, no, silly, you give me a seed, you got it, and it'll produce a harvest in your life. You got it? And so you have to understand the importance of that. And besides, cheerful people give, you got it? Like, I don't know about you, but I love to give. It makes me feel good when I give. Right? I love it. And I love being a blessing to other people. It's neat when you go to, when you go to the restaurant and, you decide that I hope you always give minimum 20%. You got it? Like minimum 25 would be nice, but minimum 20%, right? But it's nice on those days where, maybe you just have a little extra. You're like, man, I'm going to give them 50% or I'm going to give them 75% or I'm going to match the check and decide. See the how their face lights up and everything, man. And so the cheerful people give, generous people give. So learning to be a giver and not a taker will cause you to live an amazing life. You will never be God-given. If you give, watch this, and give in faith, you will always have. And the reason you always have is because you always give. Does that make sense? So you got to understand. Hey, man, that's a good place to clap. All right. Repeat after me. I always have. Because I always give. Maybe just a, no, I'm good. I'm going to work with it. All right. And so everybody say number two. Number two, patience will help you and not hurt you if you exercise it. Patience will help you and not hurt you. How many know that's the truth? You got it. And there's been some times in your life where, some things have transpired and you're like, I'm glad I waited. Ladies, I'm glad I passed on him. You understand what I'm saying? Like there's a lot of I'm glads if you understand that patience will help you and not hurt you if you exercise it. Can I get a? Amen. All right, here we go. Let's jump into our new information. Everybody say number three. God's timing is just as important as knowing God's task. God's timing is just as important as knowing God's task. Sometimes if you're not careful, you'll be so caught up on the task. You got it? I believe God wants me to do this, or I've got to, I'm believing I'm supposed to do this. And there's nothing wrong with that part. And to understand the task, you got it. But God's timing is just as important as knowing God's task. How many know that if you're not careful, you can get ahead of God? How many know if you're not careful, you can get behind God? Right? But how many know we need to walk with God? Right? So we need Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us and to help us. You go to work tomorrow, and the boss makes you mad. You understand what I'm saying? You get all emotional. You want to walk out. I'm not sure the Lord told you to walk out. I think that might have been your emotions. you got it. Because, you know, City New Bern still going to send that bill every single month. That rent or mortgage is still coming, right? So that's why the writer says wisdom is the principal thing, and get wisdom. He says, and then all thy getting, get in. He said, I need you to understand the bills are not going to stop just because you quit your job. Isn't that right? Yeah. Now, you know, and my thing is, I've always taught people, if you really believe you're supposed to, you know, switch, then you pray and hear from God. Make sure you get peace on it. And then what you do is, before you give up something, you start looking for something else, right? And you line something else up, and then have integrity and say, hey, listen, I have to give them 2 weeks so I can start in 2 weeks from the day you tell me that, because integrity is so important. You got it. Keeping your word is so important. Doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do is so important. Yeah, well, I ain't never going to go back there anymore. Anyways, Pastor, I wouldn't want another job if they gave it to me. It's not even about that. It's about just doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do. Does that make sense? All right. So God's timing is just as important as knowing God's task. Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter and the 1st verse says, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven. Now, I'm just going to stop right there. And we know that there's a time to be born, time to die, time to celebrate, time to mourn. But the writer is just basically telling us there's a season for everything. So when you move into God's timing for your life, everything will fall into place. When you don't move into God's timing for your life, things won't fall into place. You got it? And so you have to make sure that we do it God's way, because when we do it God's way, what's going to happen? We're going to get God results, right? And so, see, I can pass up on things when I know it's not my time, right? If I can wait on God's timing, what I receive will far outweigh what I passed up. So I have to wait on God's timing. So I want to talk to you about this progression of seasons and how this thing works when you're believing to start a business, or when you're believing for something, you have a goal, or you have a dream, or you have a vision, or you believe God is telling you to do something. Typically, when God tells us to do something, we don't jump right into it. There's seasons that we go through. We might start down that road, but there's seasons that we go through. And so let's kind of go through these. Number one. The first one is the season of prayer. Anytime God speaks to me, I really need to pray, because I need to get the full understanding and the wisdom of God. And as I pray, God is arranging things based on, watch this, my prayers and His will for my life. You got it? And so that's important to pray. That's why it's important to pray. That's why Jesus says that men should always pray and not faint or not give up. So it's important to do that. And so, you know, your time that you spend with God in prayer is what will sharpen your ear to hear Him. Yeah. That's why it's important to get in a quiet place. Sometimes, right? And sometimes it could be your car. That's fine. You understand? Could you say, you know, Pastor, them kids at the house is not going to give me no silence. That's okay. Get in the car, right? You know, if you're on your way to work, just turn everything off. You know, put the phone on silent. You know it's going to take you 15 minutes to get to work. You got it? You know, Jesus told them to the disciples to watch and pray. You drive and pray. You watch, drive, and pray, right? Yeah, and you will be amazed that if you can get in a quiet place and start spending a little bit of time with God, and you don't have to be deep, you understand? And you don't have to know a whole bunch of eloquent words. If you just start talking to God, you got it, He'll start talking to you. Does that make sense? So the time you spend with God sharpens your ear to hear Him. And God will always speak to you and to me in a way we can receive it. You got it. He's always going to do that. I use the illustration that God's not going to show up with an audible voice, you know, in the middle of the night at 3:00 in the morning in your room. You understand what I'm saying? You got it. And call you by name, and it's real loud and boisterous, and, you know, you under the pillow. You got it? Like, you know, hiding under the sheets. No, He's always going to talk to us in a way we can receive it. And a lot of times when God talks to us, it's almost like we're hearing our own voice, but it's not really our own voice. He speaks us in familiar ways, and the reason we know it's not is because we don't have that kind of wisdom. So the wisdom that He's giving us, or the instruction, or the things that sometimes Holy Spirit will be intrusive. You'll be praying about something, right? You got to catch this. Sometimes you'll be praying about something. You could have prayed about it this morning, yesterday morning, two mornings ago. And then it can be two, three, 4 days later. And then all of a sudden you'll be somewhere doing something and that's not even on your mind. And then he'll give you an intrusive thought that will give you the directions or the answer you need for the thing you've been praying for. Does that make sense? And so that's why it's important to spend time with God. You know, it's amazing how God does that to me all the time. I'll be believing for something. I'll be praying for something, you know, and sometimes my answer doesn't always come, you know, in the mornings when I'm spending my time in prayer. And don't get me wrong. Sometimes God talks to me about certain things, but sometimes I'll be doing something totally different. And all of a sudden this intrusive thought says, do this, do that. And I'm like, oh man, I got to go. First thing I got to do, I got to go talk to the lady. You understand? Because we got to be in agreement. And then we move from there. All right. So there's a season of prayer. And then number two, there's seasons of preparation. Seasons of preparation. Because God is not going to give us what we cannot handle. Can I get a big? All right. Because God will never set us up for failure. All right. And so there's seasons of preparation in our lives. I mean, you got to prepare if you want to start a business, you're going to have to prepare. If you want to switch careers, you're going to have to prepare. You know, Hannah sent her applications to a bunch of different schools for college. My baby this time next year going to be in college. Lord Jesus. And so, but there's preparation for that. There's preparation for everything in life, and you just have to learn that's part of the process. Preparation is part of the process, and if you don't do it, it's not going to end well. Pastor, I wish you'd be more positive. I'm positive. If you don't do it, it's not going to end well. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so season of preparation. So God will take us through preparation. He'll take us through pruning times. God will take us through times where he'll talk to me and say, hey, son, you need to slow down in that and you need to do that and those kind of things. And my whole thing is my father taught me years ago, you know, that my arms are too short to box with God. So I might as well just do what he tells me to do. Isn't that right? All right. Number three, seasons of planting. Seasons of planting. There will be times you find yourself giving and sacrificing more than normal. You got it? And the reason is because seasons of sacrifice will always set in motion seasons of supernatural in your life. And there's some things that you don't sometimes, and I don't understand why God said, hey, I want you to do this, or hey, I want you to do this. I mean, I personally believe, you know, this year, like, I'm a giver. Lady and I, we always give. But I believe that, like, we have been giving overtime this year, right? Well, it's okay, because we're always going to obey God, and seasons of sacrifice always set in motion seasons of supernatural. So what that means is I got a huge testimony coming. Does that make sense? All right. So seasons of planting. Then there's seasons of patience. Bless the Lord. Seasons of patience. Patience is the ability to handle delay and remain in joy. So what I'm believing for has not showed up yet, but I trust God. It hasn't showed up yet, but I believe God. It hasn't showed up yet, but I'm going to remain in joy. I'm going to remain in faith because I know that he's going to work out everything for my good. Does that make sense? And so I need to understand the importance of that. And so there's seasons. Let's in the back. Let's start at number one because I've been giving them a lot. Let's put it up on the screen. What's that, class?
Season of prayer.
All right. Number two in the back. Number two, class?
Season of preparation.
All right. Seasons of?
Planting.
Seasons of?
Patience.
All right. Anybody know what number five is?
Oh,
you put it up in the back. Season, y'all trying to help them out. All right. Seasons of proving. All right. Seasons of proving. You got it. I don't like to talk about the devil. Y'all know that because he's powerless in our life. Isn't that right? You got it. You know, but the Bible does say that he goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The Bible does say that he is an accuser of the brethren. You got it. And there will be times, there will be season of proving where the enemy will try to come and test you. You don't have to worry about it because all you have to do is pass the test. He's already powerless in your life, but he's still going to show up just hoping he can catch you at a weak moment. You got it? At a weak time. And that's why we stay prayed up. You got it? That's why we don't just fast when the church calls a fast, but we have our own times of fasting. You got it? You know, and so that's why we do certain things. We stay in the word. You got it? We make our confessions and those kind of things. So there's season of proving. And then number six, then there's season of productivity. This is when you are working the process in faith. Everybody say in faith. I mean, you are going as far as your faith and integrity will take you. You are knocking on doors. You're doing everything you can based on, you know, the information that the Holy Spirit is giving you, you know, and you being obedient to Him and to His word. All right. So now I'm working the process. I'm working the process, and the season of productivity, well, all those seasons that lead to the season of productivity will eventually lead to number 7, which is the season of promotion. The season of promotion is when the things you were believing for manifest in your life. Where, watch this, it's no longer a faith project. You got it? You no longer need to be in faith for it, because now your faith has turned into reality. It's turned into manifestation, and now you can use your faith for something else. Was that good? All right. Now, when you step out, let me give you this before we go to our next one. When you step out in God's timing, the first thing I want you to understand is, you know, Pastor, how do I know when I should go? You know, green light, red light, those kind of things. Peace will always be your green light. Peace will always be your green light. You got it? When you have peace, you know, there's things that, you know, let me just use Lady and I. If Lady and I are praying about something and we move out on something and we have peace about it, you got it? That's our green light, and we're moving together in faith to make it happen. You got it? So it doesn't matter, you got it, if some of our friends here say, man, what y'all doing? You got it? Oh, I don't know about that. We don't worry about any of that, right? Because, you know, because we have already consulted with the Holy Ghost. Right? We've already got peace, which is our green light. We are in agreement, and now we just move forward. Does that make sense? Am I talking to anybody in the house? All right, give the Lord a big hand praise. So half of y'all gave the Lord a big hand praise. Let's do that again. Give the Lord a big hand praise. Okay, there you go. All right. He's so crazy, but I'm yours. I'm your pastor. You got to love me. Amen. All right. And then number one, peace will be your green light. Number two, He will cause favor to show up in unusual places. You know, every Sunday, you got it. I confess it every day, but every Sunday together, we confess uncommon, unusual, and unexplainable favor in our lives, right? You have to really believe. Don't just be saying it. Believe what we say. You got it? And so He will cause favor to show up in unusual places. You got it? I don't know about you, you got it, but I am in expectation for some supernatural things to happen in my life. And then when I share the testimony with my friends or my family or my church friends or church family or whatever, you got it, people going to be like, oh my Lord. You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because it's just going to be like, how in the world? Because when God gets involved and God breathes on it, you got it, the natural turns into the supernatural, and that's what makes it amazing. Does that make sense? All right. So we said, number one, learning to be a giver and not a taker will cause you to live an amazing life. We said, number two, patience will help you and not hurt you if you exercise it. Then we said, number three, God's timing is just as important as knowing God's task. Let's go to number four. Integrity and influence can take a lifetime to build and one poor choice to lose. How many know that's the truth? That's just the truth. You got it? And when you understand this, that means you have to beware of sin and distractions. You got it? Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable. So it's the least we can do. You got it? Hebrews says that we should lay aside every weight and sin. Sometimes it's not sin, it's just weights. Or it's distractions in our lives. So we have to understand, it's not always a sin issue. You got it? It might be sometimes, you know, but sometimes it's not a sin issue. Sometimes there's weights and distractions, maybe environments that you don't need to be in, people that you're hanging around. You got it? Something that you're doing that's not even, quote unquote, an actual sin, but just ain't good for you, something you don't need to do. And if you move away from those things and get rid of those distractions and stay focused, you got it, then everything will fall into place. You know, verse 2 of 12, I know I kind of jumped away from it, but verse 2 of Romans 12 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye, how? By the renewing of your mind, but that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so, you know, people don't like to talk about sin, but how many know we got to? Sin will take you places you don't want to go, leave you longer than you intended on staying, and make you pray prayers that you shouldn't pray. You got it? Lord, if you just get me out of this, I won't ever ask you to do anything for me again. I don't pray prayers like that because I figure I'm going to need him again. You got it? It's It's just 10:10 in the morning. You understand what I'm saying? You got it. And so, no, but let me give you some advice in this point. If we don't get to the next point, that's okay. I wanted to do three, but maybe we'll get there. Never consider yourself above temptation. Right? I've been saved all my life. That's good, but never consider yourself above temptation. I'm filled with the precious Holy Ghost, fire baptized. That's good, but never consider yourself above temptation. You got it? Never be ignorant concerning Satan's devices, all right? You got it? You and I are no different from when Jesus was talking to Peter. He said, Peter, Satan desires to sift you. You understand what I'm saying? And we have to understand that. We're not saying that's going to happen, but we're just saying that's the desire of the enemy, right? And so, you know, one, I don't like to use this word a lot, okay? When Lady and I, you know, got married, there's words that aren't not really cuss words or anything, but, you know, to her it was just a word you could use. I was like, no, we don't use that word. That's a cuss word. You understand what I'm saying? Christian cuss word. You know, like Christian, y'all know what Christian cuss words are? Like dagnabbit, that's a Christian cuss word. All right. One of the best things you can do is understand that, catch this, one of the best things you can do is understand that you're one step away from stupid. Now, I don't like to use that word a lot, you got it, but you have to understand that if you think that, you know, you just so saved and so high and mighty and you so above everything, if you're not careful, that's when you'll end up slipping. But if you have the mentality like me that every day, Lord, I need you. I can't live without you. I need your help in my life. If I'm going to function the way I'm going to function, if I'm going to say the right things, if I'm going to treat people the right way, if I'm going to do everything I'm supposed to do, Lord, I need you in my life. Like, and I'm not ashamed to say I need Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? And to me, that's what helps to make sure that I never go in an area, in a gray area where I don't need to be. Does that make sense? So you maximize the consequence and you minimize the pleasure. Because sin looks affordable until you get the invoice for the consequences. That's good right there. That's grammable. That's tweetable. You got it. That's bookable. You understand what I'm saying? So sin looks affordable until you get the invoice for the consequences. Put as many safeguards in place as possible in your life. You got it. Hang around people that will keep you accountable. Does that make sense? You know, when it comes to singles, I would rather have them single wishing they were married than have them married wishing they were single. Take your time. Don't rush. You got it. You know, it's just, you know, it's nothing to rush. It ain't nothing to rush. Psalms 37 and 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I think that's the key. Learning to delight myself in the Lord. You got it? You know, I recently saw some clip that went viral of a pastor, and he was trying to explain how, you know, men, you know, like different flavors of ice cream, but you just expect us to have, you know, one flavor of a woman. Talking about his wife, you know, a wife. And you know, Joker married. And has a big following, right? You know, and so I'm like, no, Brainiac. God expects for a man to be with one woman. Amen. You got it? I thought y'all were going to clap. At least the ladies, I thought y'all were going, okay, no problem. Yeah, no. The Bible is still true, and holiness is still right. Does that make sense? Yeah, you know, like biblical definitions don't change because culture changes. Biblical definitions for fornication is always what it has been. Biblical definitions for adultery are still the same. He says, I am the Lord and I change not. So if you're married and you step outside of your marriage, you got it, that's adultery, right? If you are not married, you got it, you're not supposed to be having no praise and worship, you got it? You got to praise worship our co-workers, you know, we have kids and, you know, so they don't, you know, so now I'm not talking about the praise worship we had. I'm talking about a different praise worship. And so, and Sarah was with Abraham. You understand what I'm saying? And praise and worship, right? So, you know, but if you's not married, you're not supposed to be doing that because that would be fornication. Does that make sense? And it's my job to make sure that in love I tell you that, because what happens is, number one, I want to make sure you live a great life. In Jeremiah 5 and 25, let's go home. Let's go home. Jeremiah 5 and 25 says that your sins have withholding good things from you. And sometimes it has nothing to do with God not loving us. It has nothing to do with him not caring about us, not one, but our sins withhold good things. And number two, I have to stand before God one day and have to give an account for what I've done. And I want him to say, well done, and not what have you done? Does that make sense? You got it. And so, you know, y'all know me. I love y'all, but I've never tried to be the guy that's the most likable guy. You know, I do want everybody to like me. You got it? You do too. But not at the risk of me lying to you. I'm always going to tell you the truth in love so you can live, so you can make the right choices, so you can live an incredible life. Because when you flirt with sin, you put yourself in a position to sin. So exercise self-control as a demonstration of your faithfulness to God. You got it? That's singles, all right? I'm really out of time, but let me give this to you. Give me 2 minutes. Married couples, because I'm equal opportunity. Maintain your marriage. What did I say? All right. How many in the room? I almost shouldn't ask you to raise your hand, but hopefully almost everybody will. How many of y'all in the room, you know, get regular maintenance on your car? Like you change your oil. Please tell me you change your oil. Okay. Okay. Praise the Lord. Right. Most of us do. Right. Right. I hope you do. You got it. It's, you know, it used to be every 3,000 miles, depending on what kind of car you have. It can go 5,000, you know, but the bottom line is, you know, especially if you have a newer car, it jumps up and it tells you maintenance due in 500 miles. Right. And most of us do that. Why? Because we want to keep our vehicle running good. Well, how in the world can we keep our relationships running right if we're not maintaining them? Stay in love with your spouse. I feel out of love. The devil is a lie. You just mad, and you stayed mad. You got it. And because you stayed mad, you got in your emotions. And then when you got in your emotions, you didn't see her the way you used to see her before. And now that's nothing wrong with her. She ain't no different. She's the same one that you chose. She's the product of your intelligent choice. So if you call her dumb. Anyway, so what you need to do is get out of your feelings, brother man. And realize she's still the one that you chose, that you love, that when you look at, your heart took a beat. Come on, somebody. You got it. And so get out of your emotions and get back over in faith and start loving your wife. Okay, I know we got to go. But don't make the mistake of thinking the grass is greener on the other side. The grass is greener where you water it. So you have to ask yourself, what are you doing to make your marriage better? Man, number three would really go good with marriage. Y'all want to hear it real quick? It'd take me 2 minutes, okay? Take me 2 minutes, okay? All right? Put it up on the screen. What's number five? What is it, class? Let me give you that. So, and we all need to learn this. Can I submit something to you and relearn this? You got it? I'm talking about pastor. Most of the time, pastor doesn't have an issue with this, but then there are times, you got it, where just something triggers me the wrong way, and then, you know, I act a fool for 5 minutes. You understand what I'm saying? You got it? Now, don't judge me. You got your own issues. You got it? But if I find myself doing that, I repent. You got it? And I get myself together, and I move on. Praise the Lord. You need a transparent pastor. So, but here, this is good for marriage. Now, this is good for anything, but since we're talking about marriage, I didn't know I was going to go that way. But let's do this. This is really the Holy Ghost. Think before you speak. There's an acronym for think that'll help you to understand how to communicate to your spouse, to your children, to your family the right way. Here it goes. Think before you speak. T, is it true? H, is it helpful? If it's not helpful, why are you saying it? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind? And every one of us have messed up in this. So I'm not asking you to be perfect, but every day I'm asking you to do your best, to be your best in this area. You got it? And if you slip up, like pastor has before, you got it? You know, especially if it's a relationship, lady would tell you, I'll come and say I'm sorry in a minute. You got it? But watch this. At some point, you got to quit saying I'm sorry all the time, because what you've been working on should show up in your life. And that's a good place to stop. I'm out of time. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. Father, we thank you for the harvest, that none of the harvest is lost in Jesus' name. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed and believers are praying all over the building, maybe you're in the room or online and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to give you the opportunity. Jesus is the absolute best thing that ever happened to me. I know he'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. The Bible teaches us in Romans 10 and 9 that if we'll just confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. It goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And all that means is you have to believe that God sent his only son Jesus to die for you and that you need him in your life to the degree that you're willing to repent of your sins. And that word repent is not a hard word. It means I was heading in the wrong direction, doing the wrong things on the wrong road, and I came to the knowledge of his love. And I decided to repent or make a U-turn and start heading in the right direction. The Bible says that every man that comes to Christ is a new creature, that old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. And so maybe you need to give your life to Jesus. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. God's not mad at you. He's not upset with you. He loves you so very much. Maybe you're a Christian and you just need to repent. I just talked about that a few minutes ago. Sometimes we just, you know, we lose it. You got it? I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying sometimes that's true. Emotions get high. You say something you shouldn't say. You got it? But 1 John 1 and 9 says, if we'll just confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So repentance doesn't put you at the back of the line. It just puts you back in line. And so maybe you're looking for a good church home in the room or online. I believe the church you go to and the words you hear makes a difference. I believe the type of life you live is based on the type of church you go to and words you hear. The Bible is clear. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord are the ones that flourish. So it's the will of God, number one, for you to be saved. And number two, for you to be faithful to a church where you can hear the word on a consistent basis so it can change your life. And so for any of our appeals, we have that connection card that I talked about. That is not just for first-time friends. But if you're going to give your life to Jesus today, please fill out this card. If you're going to rededicate your life to the Lord, please fill out this card. If you want to join this amazing church, please fill out this card. You can take it to guest services. There's ushers that have offering buckets. You can drop that in. If you're a first-time friend, take it to the first-time friends table. But if you make a decision today, please follow through by filling this out in the room and online. So listen, this is what I want to do. I know there are those in you in the room that want to make a decision to give your life to Jesus. There are those of you in the room that want to make a decision to rededicate your life. We've got some Christians that say, hey, I want to repent. So let's do this. Let's all pray this prayer together. I want you to repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. Tell him you have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Now, Father, we thank you for what you've done. We seal it now to the day of redemption. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand praise all over the building.